Jackson Lears is one of this country's foremost cultural historians. In his 1981 book, No Place of Grace, he examined how many Americans around the turn of the century recoiled from modern life and instead sought solace in a cult religion's strenuous exercise and daydreams of the Middle Ages. In his latest book, Fables of Abundance, Lears traces the evolution of American consumer culture through advertising. Critic Maureen Corrigan says Fables of Abundance is so jam-packed with ideas and images, it made her head spin.
Fables of Abundance is a cultural history of advertising in America. It's published by a non-academic press, Basic Books, but it assumes an audience with a substantive background in history, literature, economics, metaphysics, cultural theory, and art. Feeling inadequate? Me too. I had a tough time plowing through Fables of Abundance, but let me defensively add, I don't think it was all my fault. The book suffers from a bewildering embarrassment of riches. In addition to being a history of advertising, Fables of Abundance is also a philosophical exploration of how Americans relate to material things. Finally, its last lengthy section mutates, without much warning, into an aesthetic study of modern novelists and artists like Sinclair Lewis, Edward Steichen, and Joseph Cornell. In cautiously recommending Fables of Abundance, I feel a little like Lucy Ricardo hawking Vitameat Vegemin in perhaps the most famous TV commercial parody of all time. Like Vitameat Vegemin, Fables of Abundance is a miracle of compression. If you swallow it all down slowly, it'll give you pep. It's a tonic for the brain. And in the immortal words of Lucy, I can even say, semi-sincerely, it's tasty, too. The most invigorating thing about Fables of Abundance is its thesis, the base that holds this whole messy, generic concoction together. Like other scholars, historian Jackson Lears regards advertising as a force that's multiplied and manipulated Americans' desires. Especially in the 19th century, advertisements encouraged magical thinking about the transformative powers of objects. But Lears also makes a startling counterclaim. He says that with the development of a corporate economy at the turn of the 20th century, the emphasis of advertising changed. Lears writes, "Advertisements did more than stir up desire. They also sought to manage it, to stabilize the sorcery of the marketplace by containing dreams of personal transformation within a broader rhetoric of control." In other words, even as modern advertising awakened our hedonistic longings for material goods, it also repressed those longings and channeled them into a disciplined striving for new products. In Lear's nuanced interpretation, the history of advertising, especially in the 20th century, could be figured as something of a contest between the quintessential American huckster, P.T. Barnum, and the Puritan, John Winthrop, both of them grappling for the soul of the beleaguered consumer. Fables of Abundance is one of those sweeping works of epic scholarship that I regard with awe. After I've finished this kind of book, I always wonder, how does anyone ever manage to write something like this? But to be honest, the very next question that pops into my head is, and how many people nowadays are going to want to read something like this? But perhaps I'm underestimating the power of intellectuals and their ideas to influence American life. After all, a former professor of history named Newt Gingrich will certainly have the chance to present his own Fable of Abundance to the American people very shortly.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Fables of Abundance by Jackson Lears.